Anyway, let's do a little more muktzah here, because I have to get to a meeting at 2 o'clock about the kashrus stuff. But okay, so anyway, what?
Can I have a party to celebrate?
No party to celebrate. There's still appeals that can have. So anyway, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Ches tells us, we're going to skip Siv Lamed and go beyond that. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Ches tells us that basar maliach, if you have salted meat, mutzel tatl b'Shabbos, basar tafel, if you have unsalted meat, Ravunam mutzel tatl, Rav Chasomar asl tatl, machloka samarayim, about unsalted meat. Tan Rabbana, and the Braisa tells us, dag maliach, salted fish, mutzel tatl, is not mukza, dag tafel, asl tatl, it is mukza, it's asl to be metatl. So salted raw meat is not mukza, because it's edible, but a machloka is with unsalted raw meat, whether it's muksa or not. And the Gemara, in the continuation, quotes a braisa that goes on to say that basar bein tafel bein maliach mutal letaltalo, that raw meat is always good, that raw meat is always fine, you're always allowed to carry, you're always allowed to be metaltal, it's never going to be muksa. So and salted raw fish is not muksa because it could be eaten, but at the end of the day, the Gemara seems to be saying unsalted raw fish is muksa. So all types of meat and some types of fish are not muksa, even if it's not cooked. But unsalted raw fish is muksa. So Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Aleph, right, says straight out, says Shulchan Aruch, Basar chai, afilu tafel shein muluch klal, mutal tafel mishum dechazi lehumtza, you can eat raw meat, whether it's salted or not, v'cheinem hu tafuach, and even if it's a little bit spoiled, you can give it to dogs, and therefore it's fine. And lamed beis dag maluach mutal tatalo, but v'sheinu maluach aser v'sheinu ratwit. That fish depends if it's salted or not, and if it's not salted, then it's going to be muktzah. So that's the Shulchan Aruch, just quoting what it says in the Gemara. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Siv Katan Kuf Chaf Vav. Kuf Chaf Hey rather. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, he writes v'nei. He quotes Machlokas Achronim. V'nei, Mimagen Avram Mavur, Tadavka B'min Harach, Kegon Yono Ubar Avza. This idea that meat's not mukta when it's raw, that's if it's a kind of meat, that's a, you know, a goose meat or something like that. Avabasa Behema, Eno Chazilachus Vasil Taltalo. But beef, if you're going to have beef from a cow, That's not going to be. That's too rough. You can't eat that raw, and therefore it's going to be muktzah as well. Aval betaz posik. That's the Magen Avraham. Aval betaz posik. Tafil basar behema tafel mutal tatal ayin shav. But the Taz says that even basar behema, that's uncooked and unsalted, is not muktzah. V'chein al yarabim maskim ledina kataz tafil basar behema mutal tatal. And the yarabim says like the Taz. Bira grachol legam ken al Magen Avraham mishum damrin to kol basar lechol ba'umtzah ayin sham. And the Gra also disagrees with the Magen Avraham. So you have the Magen Avraham on one side, we almost always pass like the Magen Avraham, but the thing is, on the other side, you have the Taz, the El Yeraba, and the Gra. And not only do you have the Taz, the El Yeraba, and the Gra, you also have the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch said, meat is not mukta. And comes along the Magen Avraham, no, he means that if it's the right type of meat, it's not mukta. But there are some types of meat that are mukta. So the Taz, El Yeraba, Gra, all say like the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham tries to say not like the Shulchan Aruch. Val Kain, after Isi Barbe Acharim Shetiku Divrei Magen Avraham Ladina, B'Makom Hadchak Yishlus Mechala Mekilin. Even though many Acharonim quote the Magen Avraham because he's the Magen Avraham, but B'Shas Hadchak you should know that he could be Mekil. So why is it important for us to know whether raw meat is muksa or not, raw beef is muksa or not? So I gave you the case yesterday. You come home and you realize that your freezer, the fuse blew on the place where your freezer is plugged in. So all the meat, you have a freezer full of meat, you have for Yantif or whatever, all your meat is gonna go bad. So first of all, it's very expensive. Meat is not cheap. And second of all, aside from the hefsek, you know, we're used to a certain level of convenience if you live in the New York, New Jersey area. My brother lives in Palo Alto, California, right? If he loses a freezer full of meat, he's got to wait till the next time a truck comes from Los Angeles, you know, and brings, you know, a whole new shipment of meat. It's a whole different kind of thing. And if Yontif is in 2 days, that's it. You can't just go to Gourmet Glot and buy more after 3 p.m. and whatever, right? You're going to be stuck. So there, it's very shaykh that you have a shas at chak situation where a fuse blows on the freezer. What do you do? Or is it muktzah or is it not muktzah? So this Mishnah Berurah quotes two days. He quotes this machlokas between the Magen Avraham on the one hand, the Taz Gra El Yiraba on the other hand. If you look in Bir Alacha, in Dibra Maschel the Chazi Lumtza, Ayn Mishnah Berurah Sharbi Achor Mekilin Gam Basu Behema Va'av She'ein Taimam Shave. He points out that even though he piled up the Achronim, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Eliyahu Rabba, the Taz, the Eliyahu Rabba, the Gra, even though he piled up all the Achronim, they don't all agree with each other. Meaning they don't all give the same reason for saying that Basa Behema is not Muktzah. The Tam, a Taz, the Dun, the Paskin, the Krabi Shimon, Afim named Lo Chazi Kol Kach, the Taz says it really relies on Rabbi Shimon, and it doesn't have to be Chazi Lu'umtza. It doesn't have to be something that you could chew on and you could eat and you could enjoy. Whereas Vitamagrog, Vichain Mitzay Del Yaraba, Gamkin Kitab Vitirutsu Hasheni, the Kolbasir Chazi Lu'umtza. Whereas the Gra and the El Yaraba seem to be assuming that every meat, even very rough meat, even meat of a behema, is Chazi Lu'umtza. So the Taz says, I agree it's not Chazi Lu'umtza, but nevertheless, it doesn't need to be, because we pass on Rabbi Shimon, who has a very limited view of Muktza. Whereas the Gra and the Eliyarabba say, no, it really is Chazilumtza. So says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm aware that they are coming at it from different angles, but at the end of the day, they all hold the same psak. They all hold psak halacha that Pasu Behem is not Muktza. And whatever Raya's Magen Avraham brings, the Achronim reject. Plus, he says, you have the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which all these Achronim are loyal to the Shulchan Aruch against the Magen Avraham. And therefore, the clear impression you get when you read the Mishnah Berurah is that Meikar Dedina, when it comes to the strict halacha, we paskin that meat is not muktza. That raw meat is not going to be muktzah. Now, notice he does not talk about raw frozen meat. It may be a different story when we talk about frozen meat, and the case that we were discussing is a case of frozen meat. But at the very least, he talks about raw meat is not muktzah. You may have some raw meat in your refrigerator also. Let's say you have Shabbos going into Yantif. So you're planning on cooking on Sunday for Yantif. So you have some raw meat in the fridge that you need to move around in order to access your Shabbos food or something like that. So is that muktzah? The clear impression you get from the Mishnah Berurah is me'ikar I did not, but it's kedai to be machmir if you can. For the sheet of the Magen Avraham, if it's basar behema.
Sheet of the Magen Avraham was a hefsed, or there's shas hatukha. So for example, if we're talking about
Magen Avraham is machmir.
Yeah, he says the only time that you'd be able to open it perhaps is in.
So Mishnah Berurah says we can rely on the El Yaraba and the Taz and the Gra b'makom adchak.
So what right. I'm saying now is, let's say you have ice pops in the back of the freezer and you want to access the ice pops, but there's all this meat and everything.
So that wouldn't be enough of a makom adchak.
That would not be enough.
L'chor or not, but let's see as this develops. Meaning, okay, Mishnah Berurah, again, Mishnah Berurah sounds like, that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah said, that the makom adchak yishlus makal makilin. But we shouldn't be so makal makilin when it's not makom adchak, even though every indication he gives you is that he really holds like the makilin.
Would it make any difference that fancy restaurants are sometimes serve just raw meat, steak?
Yeah, so this would make a difference. Let's talk about that. Or raw fish, for example, nowadays. Everyone eats raw fish nowadays. Yeah, everyone, we have sushi. I once accidentally ordered the raw meat at a restaurant. It did not taste very good to me. I thought they served me I didn't know what it was. They're like, it's raw. I didn't know that it was raw. I wouldn't have ordered that. It's expensive. Raw meat is expensive. Anyway, so what was that? What's it called? What's that place by Tachna Rishona? Yeah. I got the raw meat there at that place. Okay. So anyway, so that now I make sure that I ask, whenever I go there. I don't go that often, but usually I like, okay, is this the raw thing? Okay, anyway, so Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe Archaim Chelkei Simchav Beis Os Tes Paskins based on the Magen Avraham that today all meat, including poultry, is muktzah. Meaning, Magen Avraham is based on the idea that Shulchan Aruch is telling you that meat's not muktzah. Why? Because people chew on raw meat. Says Rav Moshe, no one I know chews on raw meat. So Magen Avraham took it one step and said, nah, people chew on raw chicken. They don't chew on raw meat. Rav Moshe says, I don't know anyone chews on raw chicken either. And therefore, it's all going to be muktzah nowadays, because it's all subject to what people do and whether people use it. Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Shmir Shabbos Kilksah, also passes like Rav Moshe, but says that b'makom atzorech, you could be maker like the sheet of the Taz and like the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be saying that it's irrelevant whether people actually use it or not. Meaning, the sheet of the Taz is that I don't care if it's Chazil Umtzer or not. In the end of the day, we really paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon has a limited version of Muktza, and therefore it's not really Muktza anyway, and that's what it's really about. So if your freezer breaks, Rav Shlomo Zalman would allow you to move the raw meat to another freezer, or a friend's freezer, and that's the sheet of Rav Eliyashiv as well. It's called in Shalmei Yehuda, that raw meat is Muktza, but Bishas of Chak, like you forgot to put the raw meat in the freezer before Shabbos, or your freezer broke, you're allowed to move the meat. Rav Avadia, in Yabia Omer Chilek Zayin, Simon Lametesos Beis, and quoted in Yalkut Yosef, or Chaim Chilek Tes, page Tafresh Chathei, Paskins, like the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch, raw meat, not muktza, you're always allowed to move it, even the Chachila. So you have Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that raw meat should be treated as muktza. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashav, it should be treated as muktza, but we could be mekel b'shas hachak. Rav Moshe, who says that it's absolutely muktza, and Rav Avadia, who says, no, it's absolutely not muktza. The Shulchan Aruch says not muktza, so it's not muktza. In Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner is like Rav Moshe. Shevet HaLevi, Chel Gimel, Simon Chavtas, Os Gimel, Rav Osner is the most machmir. Someone just asked me yesterday, what are the important svarim to have for Nida? For, there will be a million shirim learning Nida next year. So the Kol is learning Nida also. So if you want to learn Nida La'alacha, Rav Osner Sefer is one of the classics on Nida. Shire Shevet HaLevi. His shirim, yeah, Shire Shevet HaLevi. He gave like a Shulchan Aruch shir, and he just made ha'aras in the Shach and the Taz and the Pesach Yitzchuvah as he went, and they wrote it up into a beautiful Sefer. So it's a really, really good one. Now, wait a second. Why does the Magen Avraham and all those who want to pass on the Magen Avraham say that raw meat is muktza? Didn't we just go through this whole thing that anything you could feed to animals is not a problem of muktza, as long as there are animals that would... Your neighbor's dog would be thrilled to have that raw meat. So why is that not... How does that still take on the status of muktza? So Mishnah Berurah obviously deals with this question directly. And Mishnah Berurah writes in Kuf Chav Zayin, Hataz Pirushayin Hashayin Roy Af L'Klovin, that, no, we're talking about raw meat that's not even Roy L'Klovin. Dim Hoy Roy L'Klovin after Eino Omi L'Achil L'Klovin Mutal L'Taltel. Because if it was Roy L'Klovin, even though you don't plan on feeding it to a dog, it would be Mutal L'Taltel. Aval, HaMagen Avraham Kasav T'Dover Omi L'Achil L'Sodom Bein Roy L'Echol Kach Ad Motzoi Shabbos after Roy L'Achil L'Klovin Mokzi In Ishdaiti Minei Mishum T'Lo Koi L'Klovin. Like Rav Ram says, over here, the fact that you could feed it to a dog doesn't help, because no one in the right mind would take a $90, first-cut brisket and say, the dog looks hungry, and give that to the dog. That doesn't go to the dog. So that's Maksa Daito Emenu for Shabbos, because you know that after Shabbos you could cook it, and then you'll enjoy it, but on Shabbos, you would never feed it to a dog. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Taz says Eino Chinami, that if it's roi for a dog, then it's not going to be muktza anyway. So while the Taz, the Taz is a big makel in the muktza status of meat, right? First of all, he passes like the Shulchan Aruch that meat is muktza, and then he says that meat is not muktza rather, and then he says. That even when it comes to dog, even when it comes to fish, which could be muktza, a fish is only going to be muktza if it's not roi l'klavim. So if it's raw fish that a dog would eat, then it's not going to be muktza either. So the Taz is a big makel on the raw meat and fish and fish front, whereas the Magen Avraham will say, first of all, meat can be muktza. If it's basar behema, it can be muktza. And by following that line of reasoning, Rav Moshe and Rav Osner got to the point where they said, all poultry, everything, all raw meat is muktza. And furthermore, even the stuff that's not muktza is the fish, which is not muktza. So the Magen Avraham writes that even with the fish, which the Shulchan Aruch says is muktzah, is going to be muktzah, even if your neighbor's dog would be interested in eating it. If you would not take a whole salmon fillet and feed it to your neighbor's dog, so then it's going to be muktzah. So that's the Mishnah Berurah quoting from the Magen Avraham. So it's the double machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. So what about sushi on Shabbos? Right, so what would you say? So the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that raw fish, unsalted, sushi fish is just regular salmon. I used to think that it was like specially treated, whatever, something. We called up Stop, Chop, and Roll, and they told us, no, it's just salmon. I mean, they said we try to take from the fleshiest part, so it looks nice because people see it, but it's just regular salmon. So you have unsalted, regular, raw fish. So, Medina de Shulchan Aruch?
That's not salted, I don't know.
What?
That's called
not salted. Yeah, it's just regular. It's not like meat. Meat is maluch, but they don't salt fish. So you have regular fish, right? So raw fish. B'dinei de Shulchan Aruch, it's going to be muktzah. Now we said that machlokes Magen Avraham in the Taz by meat was: do I look at how people actually use it, or do I just say I don't care if people actually use it? We follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz said, follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that that raw meat is fine. Shulchan Aruch says raw fish is not fine. And the Magen Avraham says, don't follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Follow what people do. So according to the Magen Avraham, you're for sure okay, right? Because if people eat it, if people eat raw salmon, then it's not a problem. Then it's not going to be mutzah. Would you have a problem according to the Taz? What was the Taz's svara? That why we don't follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch by the meat? What? That Rabbi Shimon, that we have a very limited definition of muktzah. Okay, but maybe we're not going to follow what it says in the chumrah of what it says in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to fish. It's not that the Taz rejects the idea that if you use it, it's not going to be muktzah. Meaning, when it comes to the fish, which goes in the other direction, where using it means that it's not going to be muktzah. Maybe the Taz would subscribe to that also, that using it would mean that it's not going to be muktzah, unless it's something you would never use in that way, right? That's what the Taz says. I would never feed my neighbor's dog. Well, okay, fine, but that was the Magen Avraham. But if it's something that you would never use in that way, after all, even by the fish, the Taz said, if a dog would eat it, it's not muktzah. So if a person would eat it, of course, it's not muktzah. So the Chora, both according to the Magen Avraham and the Taz, raw salmon should be fine, right? Sushi should not be a problem to make sushi on Shabbos with raw salmon. So in my article in my sefer about making sushi on Shabbos, I discussed this point. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Os Nimches, the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Mi ledina, ledidan kol basar chay muktzahu." That all meat, he says, like Ramesha, that all meat is muktzah. So as opposed to the deus that the Mishnah Berurah quoted. So when I read my sefer, let me see if this still makes sense. Ha'olam e'anal, I wrote, shenechuk ha'achronim imyesh lodim l'fi ha'klalim ha'amunim b'gmar v'shulchan aruch gam kasher hishtantza metzius. Do you look at it based on how we behave toward it, or do you go with what it says in Shulchan Aruch? So that's probably not correct, right? I'm probably wrong about that. Meaning, I wrote, Nafkamini lini basar chai shabizmana gemara, you ochlum also, vila bizmanenu, ain't ochlum basar kazah. Vigam nafkamini li idach kisa, binyan dag chai, kagon salmon, shalfi dina de gemara, nech shav mukza, kim shen roi lachi, lufi amitzir shalzmanenu, ain't zamukza, shamatsu isho ochlum also kach. Right? Sometimes people eat even without rice, they'll just eat sashimi. Ubitama Dovashi Sovim Shabasar of Chai Lonach Shavmuksa Avshabzmanenu in Dark Nilmokhu Klau. The reason why Basar of Chai is not considered muksa, even though people typically don't eat it, beer Bishut Oz Nidburu. Rabbi Yamin Zilber, Sheesh Lahakal Yosef Bibasar of Shayna Muksa Shah Mufurish Bigamarake. That even though most people always barbecued their chicken or cooked their chicken, but still the Gemara said that Basar Oaf is not Muktzah Beferish. Says the Oz Nidbru, the reason why we're makel on the muktzah of Basar Oaf, for those who are makel about Basar Oaf, like the Magen Avraham is that people would eat it if it was Shas Adchak or Shas Lachatz. Ufi Bir Zeh, Eina Heter Machmash Hishtan Tzal Hishtamshos. The way the Oz Nidbru understands it, it's not because the Metzius changed and the way that people relate to it changed. It's just that Ochlin have a different gedder of what's called Muchan. That ochlim are always considered to be muchan as long as it's possible for a person to eat. If that's the case, certainly when there are a lot of people that eat something, we would not be loyal to what it says in Shulchan Aruch and say, too bad, Chazal already determined that something is. No, certainly if a lot of people eat it, then for sure we're going to say that it's not muktzah. So if you go with Rav Binyamin Zilber's understanding of why Basar Oaf is not going to be muktzah, not because the Metzius changed. The Metzius stayed exactly the same as it was. But Basar Oaf is not going to be muktzah because Ochel follows different Kedarim, so then certainly salmon is not going to be muktzah. But L'chora, I got it a little bit wrong. L'chora, according to every day you can imagine, salmon is not going to be muktzah. Bizman is that?
Salmon, like filet, that you wouldn't just eat. I mean, we eat the sushi salmon, but if in your freezer...
So again, we called up, I remember when we were doing Bishul Akum, we were talking about it with Rav Shechter in the OU office, and he said, we were talking about whether salmon should be subject to Bishul Akum. And he said, yeah, I heard it. They told me that it was a different salmon that they use for sushi than they use for a filet, you know, for just a regular filet of salmon. So we called up Stop, Chop, and Roll, and we asked them, is it the same salmon? They said, yeah, we try to pick the nicer pieces out of the salmon filet when we're making sushi, because sushi has to present nicely. Yeah, it's not much the same thing.
But what I'm saying is that with the chasam avonim, smarter that way, when I give it to dogs, etc., if I have like a huge piece of salmon, nobody, even my neighbor, even me, whatever, in my community, is going to take a chunk out of that and put it into their rice and whatever. Unless you go through Rav Binyamin Zilber, that if you're really hungry, then you would do that.
Or you have the recipe for it. You want to make a sushi salad. I don't know, why not? People would do that.
Because you bought it for...
Okay, but I mean, I don't think it's maximi daito to use, you know, to slightly change the recipe. Okay, so raw meat today is subject to like this broad machlokas, right? You have Rav Avadia, who's a straight Shulchan Aruch person, and therefore raw meat is not going to be muktzah. You have Rav Moshe, who's the opposite extreme, and Rav Azman, the opposite extreme, that all raw meat is muktzah because someone eats raw meat. And then you have Rav Shlomo Zalman, b'shas al chak, that you could be mekel. However, food that's definitely not edible by humans in its current state is going to be muktzah, just like a raw piece of fish. That certainly emerges, right? The question is, do we view these foods as edible for human beings? But if you have something that nobody ever held is edible, and no one would eat, napizmanenu, napizmanagamara, just a food that no one would ever eat. You know, you have uncooked beans. People don't eat uncooked beans. You have rice, uncooked rice. You have potatoes, raw potatoes. You have flour, something like that. L'chora, all of that should be muktzah. So, oh, we'll get to frozen meat in a second. So all of that l'chora should be muktzah. So if I'm by my little coffee matzav in my kitchen and I want to reach the sugar and someone put the flour in front of the sugar and the flour is muksa machmas gufa, l'chora, I have a problem, right? L'chora, I should have to move it b'gufa or kala achrayad, because then it would be tiltum min atzad l'tzorach davar amutter, right? That would be mutter. Raw eggs, agav, are not muksa. How do I know raw eggs are not muktzah? Because in Shin Chav Ches, Siflam Ches, in the Simin about Refuah, Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter l'gmoa beitzim l'hanim es hakol. That apparently it's good for the voice, or at least people believe that. Do people still believe that?
Yes.
Yes, singers still do it? Yeah. So, where is he? So, yeah, so, what?
He's scared, ready to shave.
So
that's from Rocky, from the movie Rocky. Yeah.
Rocky wasn't Lahanim Es Hakol though.
No, for different reasons.
Wasn't
reason,
say, yo, Adrian, better than he was. Right, it was for a different reason. What was the reason? Just a protein.
The secret amongst the athletes. We can't tell other people.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, any other athletes want to share? Everyone looks at Mayer. Lahanim Es Hakol. So the impression that you get is that eggs are not muksa. Someone actually just sent me a text that they, a picture of the carton of eggs that they bought, and there was a pasuk from Tehillim on the carton of eggs, translated in English. It was like a Christian company, I guess. So you want to know what? It's a German company.
Yeah.
He wanted to know if he could throw out the carton because it has Zayom Asa Hashem Negivinus Chavav in English. All right, interesting. Lo Garam Yisef V'Torah Shekasvam Min, right? You're allowed to be sorry if you say V'Torah Shekasvam Min. It's not Mappy Corson printed this on the side of the package, plus not in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we go based on what people do, so then it is important to figure out if people actually swallow the eggs. Why is Rebbe so convinced that nowadays that
our athlete and
he brought a ride from Rocky, not that he does it.
Well, it also says here that
people do it.
Many people think that the voice will improve immediately by drinking raw eggs in situations that require performance, such as concerts, pre-conferences.
Shiurim.
Yeah.
At my office, I just dab a couple of eggs before I come in.
People eat raw meat, then also.
So the raw meat thing, can we do some research on that? I mean, is that just any raw meat, or is it particular types of meat that they call it something? What's it called?
It's called carpaccio.
Carpaccio, that's what it is. Right, so, I remember I ordered carpaccio. And then they're like, you ordered it with such confidence, we weren't going to tell you anything.
You can also order raw steak at a restaurant. That's either very almost raw or very, very.
You can't order raw steak. You order rare steak, not raw steak. It isn't even rare and raw.
It's from a fillet.
It's from a fillet. Just means that.
And then there's another thing called tartare.
Beef tartare, yes.
It says it's from the middle of a fillet or a sirloin.
So it sounds like any steak. So how many? Then the question becomes: how many people have to be able to eat it? Yeah.
I don't know what the people at Stop Chop and Roll or whatever, but when I googled sushi salmon, it says like it's totally different than regular.
Really?
It says there's a difference between raw salmon and sushi grade salmon. Chef Shigeru Shirashi from a restaurant in Singapore says salmon used for sashimi has been super frozen at 40 degrees Celsius. It kills parasitic worms that are host to the fish. And says, don't do your own. In other words, don't do your own sashimi. Salmon that you buy from a friendly fishmonger or new birds in the market may not be safe to eat raw. And all these things say.
Meaning, it's not like from different fish, different part of the fish, or even treated. It's just that it was frozen to kill whatever parasite.
Flash frozen on the boat shortly after being caught.
Interesting.
Like you can't just eat. You can't take a bite out of it. It's salmon and fillets that you buy from the market.
Although the sashimi looks just like it, but I guess.
Yeah. How much I'm getting, I think this is all the same question, is how much do we look at the min and say that just because I bought a type of bizarre behema that wouldn't be, but the category would be.
Right. But I think over here, you wouldn't look at the min, you would look at, can I use what's in my refrigerator?
Can you use it? Or
can anyone use it? Meaning, what Ellie's saying is that if it hasn't been flash frozen on the boat, you can't use it for that purpose. So if that's the case, no one would use it for that purpose. Maybe the guy in Stop Chop and Roll just looks at, he orders salmon, you know, for sushi, and it looks the same as the salmon that he has at home. So we, I don't know, I'll have to ask him. He comes to me and says,
Nichus
Chavashim.
Well, he doesn't, and you're about to put him out of business.
Yeah.
People
like that, like the restaurants, even with the raw meat, like they're not serving you raw meat, they can give you salmonella because they don't want to get in trouble for that. But like a random person in their house doesn't know if their meat is like frozen in a certain way that's safe or not.
Right, mistum, it's not, right? Meaning I would assume, so if it's not, so then you go back to the muktzah problem. Yeah. Now, frozen foods are not edible the way they are, but frozen l'chora does not make something muktzah just because it's frozen. Or shomazalmin, is quoted that since food can be defrosted during Shabbos and be eaten, so if it's not muktzah on account of it being raw, it's not going to be muktzah on account of it being frozen either. Rav Eliashiv also agrees. He's quoted in the Sefer Shalom Yehuda and says that even frozen raw meat is not muktzah when it's a Shas of Chak, because it could be defrosted on Shabbos by putting it in warm water or in the sun, and once it's defrosted, it becomes edible. That's why, according to a lot of people, you can use frozen challah for Lech Mishnah, right? Because it could be defrosted over Shabbos. Even if you take it out of the freezer for Suda Shlishas before Shkia, it's still not muktzah because the outer layer of the challah could still defrost in time, right? The frozen challah discussion, that's I guess it's become a famous tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, right? Because people like to talk about that topic, about the frozen challah. So Tzitz Eliezer was the one who really wrote a tshuva about the topic. So he writes in Chelek Yudal in Simen Mem that there are two reasons that frozen challah is not muktzah. First of all, you never set it aside in your mind because it could be taken out of the freezer to defrost and will then become edible. And second of all, you could use it for Lech Mishnah. So since you can use it for Lech Mishnah, even in this frozen state, so it's not muktzah. So even if you don't plan on eating it and you never had any havamin of eating it, but you can use it for Lech Mishnah. Wait, but can you? Meaning, isn't that the shaylah? Can you use it for Lech Mishnah or not? So Tzitz Eliezer says, yeah, you could use it for Lech Mishnah. Why? Because Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you only need to cut one challah, right? What was it? Rabbi Zeira, that Batza Akula Sheirusa, the Gemara says, that he, so there's Machlokes Rishonim, what it means, Batza Akula Sheirusa, so one sheet in Rishonim said he cut both challahs. But we don't Paskin that way. We Paskin, you only need to cut one of the challahs. The other challah could be left in any form, as long as it's called bread, even if it's not totally edible. Because you have to have Lechem Mishnah as a zecher to the man. So anything that has a shame lechem is going to be a zecher to the man. So says Tzitz Eliezer, you could use a frozen challah for the second challah because it has a shame lechem. He brings a raya from a prima gadim. Prima gadim says a pas akum could be used as the second challah, even though you're not supposed to eat pas akum on pas palter even on Shabbos. We know you cannot eat pas palter on Shabbos. But still, you could use pasakum as lach mishnah. And he quotes that there are a lot of achronim that allow you to use matzah on erev Pesach shchalios b'Shabbos for your lach mishnah. And maybe not, obviously not to eat because you can't eat. It's kabbalah rasasa beis chamav. But someone pointed out to me that on Pesach sheni we had a kabbalah rasasa beis chamav. So that was a daf yomi coincidence. That was good. So even though eating matzah on erev Pesach is kabbalah rasasa beis chamav, it could still work. So you know the reason for this is lach mishnah is a zeich leman, and as long as it has a shem lechem, so you could use frozen challah for lach mishnah also. By the same token, meaning if you could use pasakum, and you can use matzah nerf pasach, so the chari you could use frozen challah also. For some zalman though, is according to Shmir Shabbos, he disagrees, and he says no, if it's completely frozen, you can't use it for lach mishnah because it's not food. Meaning, it's not called lechem. It's not edible. Matzah is different. He says matzah and erev Pesach can be used for lechem mishnah because it's edible. It's just that there's a halacha that you're not supposed to have it on erev Pesach. But frozen challah is not food. It doesn't have a shem ochel. If it doesn't have a shem ochel, you can't use it for lechem mishnah. But if your meal will go on for a while, and by the time the end of the meal comes, the challah will be mostly not frozen. So then you could use it for lechem mishnah. Because the challah then would be considered food because you have the time to even eat it. It would be similar to like a hot soup, which is considered edible food even though you can't eat it while it's boiling hot because you wait a little bit and it will cool off a short while later. Rav Eliada Goldwich told us that he spoke to the author of Shulchan Shlomo, and he said that he was under the impression that Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that you actually need to let the challah defrost. That it's not good enough, the fact that it could defrost if you have a long enough meal, but that you actually have to make it defrost so that it will become ochel during that meal in order to count as lech mishnah. Rav Vosner disagrees with both, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Tzitz Eliezer. He says, don't use frozen challah for lech mishnah. Lech mishnah means two portions of bread, and if one is frozen, it's not bread at all. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is sort of like a middle opinion, that if you have a long meal and it will defrost, then it's okay. Rav Vosner says no. If right now it's frozen, it's no good. And plus, there's some Rishonim that say that you need to cut both challahs. So certainly, you try to. It's best to be machmir like those Rishonim that you cut both challahs, or at least they should have roi labila, meaning that it should be right to cut both challahs. But the way Rav Vosner says it is, if there are Rishonim that hold that you need to cut both challahs, evidently both challahs need to be cuttable. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a discussion on whether you need to cut both challahs. Because obviously, if the second challah doesn't need to be something that you can cut, then no one would hold that you must cut it, right? So the very discussion in Rishonim, it's a funny way of looking at things, right? You could say that those Rishonim that say you have to cut both challahs will say that they're chinami, they both need to be something that you can cut. The Rishonim that say that you don't need to cut both challahs, and Batzah Kula Shirusa just means that you cut off a large piece to begin with, that could last you a whole meal, and it's not nechzikar of tenusa. It doesn't look like you're being gluttonous. So that's all it means, and you don't have to have both challahs cut. So at the end of the day, whether you can use frozen challah for lechem mishnah is a three-way machlokas achronim. Whether it's a hard no, that's the Shevet Halevi. Whether it's a soft no, that's Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Or whether it's a yes, that's the Tzitz Eliezer. So Tzitz Eliezer says, oh, and you know why frozen challah is not muksa? Because you could use it as lechem mishnah. If that's the case, then it could be that Rav Ozer will tell you that your frozen challah is in fact mukta. However, there was the other reason Tzitz Eliezer gave, and that is that if you can defrost and you can make it edible, then it's not going to be mukta. But let's say raw potatoes is not going to help you. Right, raw potatoes are still going to be muksa, right? There's not going to, you're not going to have any hetter.
I don't know
about
the between Rosh Hashanah and
Rav Ozer.
At the end of the day, both
of
them would say,
Rosh Hashanah says
you
can use
it and let it defrost. Now you can cut it.
Can I make a hamotzi on it right now while it's still frozen? That's enough community.
No, the author of the Shulchan Shlomo explained that that's not really what Rosh Hashanah
says. No, he says that you can use it right now as lechem mishnah, but you then have to leave it on the table until it actually defrosts.
Meaning you don't have to wait the time period for it
right
to defrost.
You can't, you have to after you use it. Yeah.
It's a little doxic, but according to Tzitz Eliezer, let's say I was taking out like the frozen piece to put on someone's face because they have like a bruise. Would that be enough of an additional reason that would make it not muksa?
Meaning because you could use it for something like frozen peas or something that we use for that purpose very often. Kashrus, right? I don't think they use frozen challahs for that, though. Frozen peas, you would say, right? Something like that. All right, I just realized that it's 2 o'clock and I'm late for this meeting, so I apologize. I don't know. Okay. Well, good Shabbos, everybody.